The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. This is known as a pulpit. Good morning. I'm Father Todd. I forgot to welcome you earlier. I'm still asleep, I guess. Please be seated. Too often we resort to nostalgia, thinking that the past was better, more simple, easier to deal with than our complicated, vexing world that we experience on a daily basis. Sometimes it takes a movie to jolt us out of that thinking, that life in the past also had a gritty underworld. I have even heard a preacher say on Pentecost, "Happy birthday, church." I say enough of the nostalgia, that the season of Pentecost, by which, by the way, runs into autumn and can contain as many as 28 Sundays, this season, more specifically, this day of Pentecost should be viewed more like a graduation and not a birthday. In high school, I was terribly shy. I had acquaintances, not really friends, because I was different, but I lived in the country far away from others. My only friends were the exchange students from far away. Right after graduation, I was off to Finland as an exchange student myself. My graduation was like the Spirit breathed my future life into me that day, that moment. It was a distinct shift from my shy child to the person that I am today. I didn't know that I was going to receive an award for being an exchange student in front of all other 220 graduates, that I would receive a thunderous applause from the exact same people who either ignored me or had been tormenting me those 5 years, with some of them calling me names. But that graduation night was like our glowing future, our 18-year-old, we can accomplish, we know everything, dreams that had united us for that moment. We were brothers and sisters together. For some, they would relish in this moment for decades and with each other and would reunite at reunions. For others like me, it'd be the last time I'd see 99% of those people. The whole world was in front of us and our oyster, and I dreamed of the pearl and the oyster. I received admiration much like when I'm preaching a good sermon. I didn't know that self-esteem that was breathed into me that evening is what inspired me to get on top of a picnic table 2 hours later and dance with this girl at our highbrow, catered, elegant senior party at a senior's sprawling ranch. It was a scene that shocked my older brother, who crashed that party and retold that scene to our parents. Todd had shut the door on the past and opened a glimpse to the future. The spirit of Todd was off and running, and I was making friends. I am now the happiest in my life because I have so many friends now. Relationships are the key to happiness. And I thank all of you, my friends here and at 10:30, and all the churches that I serve. A seminary professor asked her students a provocative question. What happens when the church doesn't show up? A response from a student haunted her. He described a group of people who have a weekly reunion. They drive to a neighborhood that they don't live in. They arrive at a building that has nostalgia, and then they leave. Before you think I'm painting that portrait about here, I am not. This church is far from it. And since we are at the beginning of another election cycle and the requisite debate, will you be better off than before, or is America's best times ahead, or is it in its past? All Saints Church may have rested on its laurels in the past, but it is truly a forward-thinking church. It is a future tense verb church, like the gospel writing today. When God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out, which also means bestow literally, liberally, gush out thy spirit. The magic and mystery of Pentecost is that the spirit can't be contained or encapsulated, that the parishioners today, here and now, may not number like the hundreds that filled this church to capacity in the 1950s, but the parishioners now make up for it in spirit. They make up for it in giving of their talent, their treasure, their genuine concern for the other, the neighbor, whoever that might be. That they are, that we are united in that sign outside that says, we welcome all. That we have codified that message in our souls of what encapsulates the word all. That we mean it. That all means a lot more people than it did in 1955. To get to this point, it took lots of many Pentecosts, which are times when God breaks through the spirit of ascended Jesus to bring change, movement, and the future. Pentecosts can be chaos, confusion, but they also can be wonder and joy. Spirit means being sent out to do the work of Jesus. Pentecost is the trinity of peace, joy, and sending out. There were parishioners who couldn't handle this change and left, yet there are many more who came and who were attracted to the unified spirit, the diversity of voices and talents, who sense the future of this church. We are the future of the church. We forsake the now for the future. We vision the kingdom, the new order. We beckon others to unity is not conformity. And I'm going to say that again. We beckon to others that unity is not uniformity. Don't treat Pentecost as nostalgic, but a reoccurring series of new opportunities, new joys, new wonders. Think of it as God setting us on a new course, a new life ahead of full of wonder, excitement, like dreams of an 18-year-old who, of course, knows everything. Also, this Pentecost that we study today was not a single event that happened 2,000 years ago, as Pentecost had been a Jewish harvest festival perhaps for 1,000 years before that. This historic Pentecost started with the Jews in Jerusalem, but spread like wildfire, like something breathed into an ember that started a spark that spread beyond the Jews in Jerusalem, but spread to all people, all nations, and for all time. This historic Pentecost was the first one with a spirit, and it wasn't the last one. That the fire-breathing spirit continues to ignite passion, joy, wonder, and if necessary, chaos and confusion for the greater good. In Genesis, with God's creative process and God breathing life into human beings, God's creative process is alive with the words of our psalm that we read this morning. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the great wide sea, with its living things too many to number, creatures both small and great. I close with Jesus telling his disciples, peace be with you, which for the Jews, that meant shalom. It is really more than peace as we know it. And I don't think we really know what peace is as we live in a state of perpetual war. Shalom between two people means that they're all right with each other, that they have not only forgiven the other for any misdeeds, but they did the really hard part of forgetting whatever sin. Forgive and forget. Shalom. Jesus is telling us in our hyper-competitive, nasty world that we need to have shalom, that we need to forgive and to forget. Perhaps we can ignite a fire of niceness that spreads from South Florida to Washington and beyond. Pentecost is just not a day of bells, not just a graduation day, but a day and a season to prepare us with the hard work we need to do. I send you out in niceness and peace. Don't look back, look forward with gratitude. Amen.